It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew in the 26th chapter. We're going to start reading with verse 44. Matthew chapter 26, verse 44. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you, this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us here, it'd be 217-440-4402. And if you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine. I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. We're going to begin reading with Matthew chapter 26, verse 44. And he left them and went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed unto the hands of sinners. Then in verse 46, arise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? And then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword unto his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray for my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled, that thus it must be. And at the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye lay no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. We'll end the reading with verse 56, and we'll begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this precious time. I thank you for your word, and please that you would guide and lead us just so perfectly through the study today, that we may know your will and know your way and just walk closer and closer to you. But we know, first of all, Father, that we must come to your Son, the Lord Jesus, and invite him into our hearts. But that has to be done when the Spirit, your Spirit, Father, convicts each one of us of our sin, shows us who we are. We're just a wicked sinner, and we need salvation. We need to be saved. We need to be born again. Father, please that you show that, expose that person of who they are, and then bring that wonderful gift of salvation that comes through your Son, the Lord Jesus, to them. And I just pray that they will accept you, trust in you each and every day. So, Father, please, guide and lead us through this study today. Teach us your way and will, that we may be closer and closer to you each and every day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we find here, as we went down through quite a study last time we were together, concerning how Satan is such an enemy of the Lord Jesus and an enemy of the cross. does not want the Lord Jesus to come to the cross. And so we kind of went all the way back to, started with Adam and Eve, and so we went all the way through a very quick survey of the attempts, just a few of the attempts that the devil made so that Jesus would not make his way to the cross. But Jesus made his way to the cross. And so we find here that, as we had read in the other gospel concerning the drops of sweat, of blood and sweat as he prayed in such an earnestness. And that's the reason that he asked that cup to be taken, not the cup of the cross. That's why he came. But that he would not die, that take this from me. And then he said, you know, Father, whatever is thy will. And we know he'd sent some angels to lift him up, to pick him up, and to take care of him. And he comes back each time because, as we read this, you know, well, that's back in verse 39. I'll just read it for you. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thou wilt." And it was just such a pressure. And then he asks his disciples once again. He finds them asleep. "And what, you could not watch with me 1 hour," verse 40. "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And so as we look at this and we find the pressure that's going on here, but it seems as the disciples have no idea of what's coming, even though they've been told. And then verse 42, he went away again a second time, prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Lift me up, Father." And he came and found them asleep, for their eyes were heavy. We have no idea what has been going on. It's the middle of the night. And he left them and went away again in verse 44 and prayed a third time, saying the same words. "Then cometh he to his disciples and said to them, Sleep on now." That's kind of where we're at in the study right now. And we did make quite an extensive study last time concerning all the separation of the two, of the nation of Israel into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and then talked about the Assyrians and Nebuchadnezzar, and then we come to the Persians and how that they then released them, allowed them to come back. But from the time that Nebuchadnezzar has taken them out of the southern land, the nation of Israel has not had a king. They've lost their king, they've lost their kingdom, they've lost everything. They were dispersed around the world. But in 1948 is when they were brought back and given for the first time a very small portion of the land. And ever since then, there has been a gathering of the Jews back to their promised land. And that will really come to a head when the tribulation begins, because that is the final call that our God is going to call them back one more time, one more opportunity of salvation for the nation of Israel. And so that's to come. Right now we're in the church age, and the next event on the calendar is the rapture of the church. All believers will be taken home, and that will usher in the 7 years of tribulation. And at that time is going to be the great calling back for the nation of Israel. But right here, we find the disciples sleeping. And, you know, you and I probably would have had some harsh words for them. Could you not have just stayed awake? Why couldn't you do that? Why couldn't you stay awake and pray for the strength that you need to go through these next few days here? But he didn't. He had no harsh words for them. He calmly said to them, just, you know, sleep on, take your rest. And if they had any idea, you know, what was to come, because in a very, very short period of time, we're going to have Judas come and betray him. We're going to have all kinds of accusations, false accusations that's going to be brought against our Lord and Savior. We're going to have an unbelievable treatment, the beatings and all the things that take place physically to our Lord, not to mention then, you know, the fake trial, being condemned and being taken out and to be put to death by a cross, which fulfills all the Old Testament prophecies that he was going to be hung on a tree. And so we know that was to come, but it could not have been a more brutal, brutal death. There still to this day is no worse death than to be hung on a cross to die. And of course then he took all the sins of the world. His perfect sacrifice. He's the only one that could take our sins away. And so he took upon himself all the sins of all the world, the ones that had been committed, the ones that's going to be committed, all the sins of the world he took upon himself and died on that cross for you and for me. And so all that's to come. And yet Jesus, you know, finds these disciples asleep. So it kind of has the appearance that Jesus just let them sleep, and he even just sat and watched them as they rested, very knowing what was to come and going to take place to the Lord Jesus. But knowing what was to come for his followers, and then I think that the stillness was broken up. And that's when we have this division here from 45. Because he said, sleep on now. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Jesus spoke those words to no one's ears. They were all asleep. But he let them rest. And then we come to verse 46, and I think when we come to verse 46, I think the stillness of the night was broken by the mob that was coming. Arise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. What sad words. He let them rest as long as they could. But when the mob came, it was time for them to awaken, stand up, be ready. Do you think that any of them remembered any of the words that was given at the Last Supper concerning one of you is going to betray me? And they all questioned each other. They even questioned themselves. There's Peter, he made some bold statements. They all wondered. John chapter 18, and we'll turn there in just a little bit, but it makes mention that they're coming with lanterns and with torches and with weapons. And so as we look at this in verse 47, and while he yet spake, so he says in verse 46, arise, let us be going. Not that they're going to depart, but the time has come, the one that's going to betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the twelve, came, and with him a great multitude, with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. As we look at this, why did they bring such a multitude? Did they fear the disciples? I mean, they're just fishermen and a tax collector, and they sure aren't soldiers. You sure don't know how to fight. We find that out with the as Peter grabs the sword and cuts off the high priest's servant's ear. He wasn't very accurate with what he was doing. You know, did they fear the disciples, or did they fear that Jesus would slip away again? Because he had many times. They'd come after him, but that time, it was not his time. So they just continued. And I believe that Judas especially, I think he had witnessed the power of Jesus many times. And so when we read this, and we come on down now to verse 48, it says, "Now he that betrayeth him gave him a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he." And then he makes a statement there, "Hold him fast." I know that the multitude and the soldiers, those that came, were prepared for whatever might come. But I think Judas may have been the only one that really had fear of what might transpire, what might take place here. The religious leaders, again, they had attempted to arrest him many times and failed. They, you know, what was their fear? Was their fear of harm? No, it was the fear that this king of the Jews, this Jesus, would take away their power, their position. I believe that's what they were afraid of. We look at the multitudes here, chief priests and the elders of the people, the band of men. This was a detachment from the Roman soldiers. Officers were the Jewish servants of the priests and the Pharisees. So that gives you a list. And Judas gave him a sign. Judas gave him a sign. Now, he that betrayeth him gave them a sign, saying, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold fast." Hold fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. How could Judas ever do this? Only because he allowed Satan to enter him. Why do some folks today do such awful, grievous things? It's because they allow demons to enter them. And don't think for one second that demons aren't active today. And the only way to rid yourself of demons, or to see that a demon doesn't come in and possess your, to control your life, is to trust in the Lord Jesus. Because if you trust in the Lord Jesus, demons cannot come in. They cannot control you. You need to trust in Jesus today. You need to allow that Holy Spirit, as he's speaking to your heart right now, say, "Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I'm lost. And yes, please, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me." It's that simple, but it has to come because you have recognized who you are. You're a wicked sinner and you need salvation. Can you imagine Judas coming up, kissing the Lord Jesus? He'd been with him for 3 years. He had seen the miracles. He had watched him day after day. He'd sat and listened to his teaching, and yet Judas refused to come by faith to Jesus. So don't think for a minute you can sit in church. Don't think for a minute that you can follow through with the confirmation, and when you're younger and you say yes at the end, and you've been baptized and you've joined a good church and you're faithful in that church and you're working in that church, but you have neglected one important thing, the most important thing, and that is listening to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit upon your life. And until you do that, you're going to wake up in hell. How could Judas do such a thing? He neglected to trust in Jesus as his Savior. Just that simple. Just that simple. How can you serve and work so hard in church and helping people and doing this and doing that, and yet still one day die and end up in hell? How can that be? It's because you have not listened to the Holy Spirit when he called you to come and accept the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, as your Savior. Don't neglect that. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. And forthwith, just hard to imagine, he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. That word, hail, means rejoice. I come with joy. I come with joy. The only way that can take place is if Judas was controlled, taken over by Satan himself. By Satan himself. Master, of course, always means teacher. And that was always Judas's reference. He never called him Lord. He always called him Master. It means teacher. And he kissed him. That enemy many times approaches us with seemingly truth. And the reason I'm saying that is Judas came and said, "Hail, Master, rejoice, I come with joy." You see how tricky that old devil is? He comes with a smile, but at the same time, he's got a knife that's going to stab you right in your back. You understand that? Don't play with fire, my friend. You're going to get burnt. You're going to go to hell if you don't listen to his call. Not my call, his call. Listen to that Holy Spirit. Because that old devil, that old enemy comes, and he has an appearance. And let's go to 2 Corinthians, let's look at this. See if that'll help you a little bit. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Be aware, if you've never been told that you need to be born again, You've been lied to. You have been lied to. Now, let's look here at verse 50 to the response that Jesus has given to Judas. Friend, wherefore art thou come? He knew. He knew exactly why he came. He knew exactly who was coming. He knew what was going to happen. And yet he called him friend. Kind words. Cut right to the heart when you're talking to an enemy. Jesus didn't try to run. He didn't try to defend himself. He didn't try to argue his way out of it. He didn't try to do anything other than to state such a kind word to the very one that just sold him out. Someone that Jesus had walked with for 3 years. Judas had 3 years of the greatest exposure of salvation of any man that's ever walked on this earth. And he rejected it. So again, don't take for granted just because you're a religious individual, just because you serve in a church, that you know Jesus personally. Because that is a day. And if you tell me that you always believed, that is another lie that the devil shows to us often. Never will you forget the day that you trust in Jesus. If you're 10 years old or if you're 90 years old, the day that you recognize that the Spirit comes, shows you your sin, and you say yes, is a day you will never forget. Never. But don't give me the old lie, I've always believed. Because there has to be a day that you say yes to Jesus. Here he comes. Friend. And he asked, wherefore art thou come? And then they came, laid hands on Jesus, and took him. Jesus offered no resistance. John chapter 18, I said we would be there earlier in the study. John chapter 18. Verses 4 through 8. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come unto him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell on the ground. I love this scripture. Whom seek ye? He asked again. And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Then Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. And that's the way it should be, not I am he, but I am. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake. Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. And then we have Simon Peter drawing his sword. It's so important that we remember back, because when he said, I am, most of these went back to the day when Moses said, who should I say that you are? And he said, I am. And we're going to touch on that next time we're together. So please, please, come back next time for more of God's precious word. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?